difference, the Asanga difference. I'm just going to give a short talk and hope it makes sense. I'm wearing a brown jacket because I belong to one of the, let's say, the orders that Thich Nhat Hanh created, which is the Order of Inner Being. And I lived in Plum Village for about 15 years as a monk, and I disrobed a couple of years ago. And today I just was invited to give a short talk. And I wear the jacket in order to represent the tradition that Thich Nhat Hanh created in Vietnam in 1964, which is a kind of mindfulness, I would call it, to summarize it, mindfulness in action. And mindfulness is something that we endeavor to practice here, or we try to nurture here. But when we say in action, it's often something else, and it can be quite something quite active. And sometimes we may see it in a social justice movement. There's an awareness, and there's an action, and we could call it social justice, or the peace movement, or the environmental movement, or different kind of expressions. But basically comes because there's a certain awareness, or a certain mindfulness, a certain sense that something is going on, whether it's positive, negative, lacking, or not. But there's a certain awareness. So in this sense, mindfulness is a practice that we endeavor to do, though ironically mindfulness is already present because we're always aware of something. The only thing is that we just don't know we are aware. We don't notice, and we don't generally value that awareness at a deeper level. I can be aware, as I used to be in an environmental group, I can be aware of the destruction of nature. So there's an awareness. But I may not be aware that awareness can be directed inside too. So today's theme, more or less, I'll try to stick to it if I can, is about healing oneself and healing the world. I'm not always good at sticking to things, so we'll see what happens. And it was a little bit inspired about the awareness that, there's a lot of things happening in the world, especially in the environment, and I'm wondering how aware are we really of what's going on, what's happening in the world. The result of that is because there's something happening inside of us too. So there's both things are interlinked. Before humans arrived on this planet, I guess things were happening, but maybe not in the same way. We've added a complexity to the situation. And that complexity can be positive too. It's not necessarily negative, although in the news we see it, especially in the environment, as a negative impact. And when we talk about, what I'm talking about is about climate change or global warming or whatever we want to call it. But there's always a dynamic between my inner world and the outer world. The outer world has an impact in me in many ways. And I have an impact in the world too. So often, if I see myself inside of myself in a fragmented way, I will relate to the world or to others in the same way, in a fragmented way. And some cultures, they're lucky enough to have a structure, inner structure perhaps, and then a social structure, and then an outer structure that is more holistic. The relationship maybe is less fragmented. For us, at least my relationship to myself has been definitely much more fragmented. And of course that has had the impact on the outside too. So one example of that is if I notice confusion in myself, I've noticed anger in myself, fear, the tendency to overcome things inside of myself, to control things inside of myself. And I notice that that tendency is expressed the outside too. I try to control, I express my fear outside, my anger. I try to control the world. On the extreme, I try to exploit the world because I want something, but I don't understand where that wanting is coming from. If I was mindful and able to hold that wanting or that need, I could see that maybe he has a root. And then if I can address that root, I don't know, I don't need to exploit anything outside, because I'm aware of inside and I'm aware that actually the essential fulfillment comes from inside. But if I'm not in touch with that, and there's no way, it's difficult to change the outer need for control or for exploiting. I see I manipulate things outside, but I also notice that I manipulate inside. And the very basic thing is obviously ingrained in us is the comfort and discomfort. It's a very basic thing that if I notice that I tend to like comfort and I don't like discomfort, that tendency was expressed to outside and in some ways in a hugely magnified way. So I don't like to be hot if I'm living in a country, hot country, right? I don't like to be hot. I don't know about you. There's levels that I like some sun, it's warm, it's pleasant, but I get really hot, 35, 40 degrees, it becomes uncomfortable, and it's 45 or 46, like if you live in Australia, it's very uncomfortable. So obviously you have a reaction. Now the extreme of that reaction is, for instance, I've been in Asia, is now I get an air conditioning system. And before, an air conditioning system, as when I grew up, never existed. Now it exists. So I can control my environment. So in Hong Kong, every flat has an air conditioning system. Every single one. And it's ironic because to create air conditioning systems, you have to have an industry that makes the temperature go even higher in the environment. All because I don't know how to deal with heat to some extent. I have a discomfort. So that discomfort becomes amplified. This may be a kind of a gross way of expressing that, or kind of far out way to express it, but if you see that, you notice that, you begin to add the things and a picture emerges from that awareness, and a picture emerges that you see, well, a lot of what's happening in the world, it's actually happening inside. I'm the microcosmos of what the world is, the macrocosmos. And so I can have a beneficial influence in the world when I can begin to work what was happening inside of myself in a better way. You know, when I'm less fragmented, when my view about myself changes, then my view automatically of the world changes. If I have a good day, then everything is beautiful. If I have a bad day, everything is black. If I am stressed, I see everything as stress. If I'm happy, I see everything to some extent in a good vibe. So you can see that there is always a constant inner and outer flow. And the more we are aware of that, then we can help ourselves. We can be a positive change in the world. But the basic thing realistically is that there is a fragmentation. I'm fragmented inside. There's things inside that I don't know how to deal with. That could be my self-criticism, could be my judgment, my anger, my sadness, my desire, my need for power. And that has an effect outside. And in the city or in a modern life, we don't necessarily see the connection, which is sad, because one small example, and you may notice that I am a little bit of an environmentalist, is, you know, nowadays a lot of things have palm oil, soap, margarine. And we may not be aware of that, but what's happening in Indonesia or Malaysia or other countries, Borneo, is that they're cutting down all the forests to plant palm oil. So I can have my margarine. If we were aware of that, we would say no. Straight away, there would be something in us that would resonate with what's going on there, and automatically we would say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that forest to be cut just to have a plantation of palm oil so I can have margarine. Automatically, there would be an intuitive, a heartfelt response. I think most of us would have that response when we see it. But it's difficult to see it because I'm not living in Borneo, I'm not living in Malaysia, I'm not living in Indonesia. And when I see my tub of margarine, I don't see the connection. It's very difficult for me to see it unless I'm affiliated to Greenpeace or other groups like that will send me emails and try to have a monthly contribution from my pocket and at the same time try to convince me that it's good to save the environment. And that may add stress to the already stressful experience I'm having. So it's challenging. Of course, I am talking about the environment, so to some extent the environment is here because I'm talking about it. To some extent the rainforest is here because I'm talking about the rainforest. You may just listen to the rainforest as a word, but if you feel inside, you may feel the rainforest is actually inside of you, in different shapes and different smells and different tastes. So the question that Buddhism we ask or in mindfulness is just to look inside. What is inside? How am I in dealing with the experience of being connected to myself? Because that's how I'm dealing with the rest of the world. If I have anger inside of myself, that's how I'm going to be angry with others, or I'm going to be angry with the world. If there's sadness inside, then I'm going to be sad inside, I'm going to express that sadness outside. If there's fear, I'm going to do the same. So how am I relating to myself? How am I relating to the world? How am I relating to my thinking? How am I relating to the news? So all this has an impact, inner and outer. And this is not a question... It's not a question of judgment, it's a question of awareness. And the other very important thing is that we come, or at least I come here to Saturday, to nourish my practice. That's the first thing. If I don't nourish my practice, it's very difficult to hold the situation, the inner realities, have the skill to work with myself, and at the same time to have the capacity to respond to what's going on in the world. Because if I don't have the capacity to respond, I just add to the confusion and I just add to the exploitation or to the anger or to the frustration, you know. This is extreme. I can be an angry environmentalist, but that's not going to resolve the situation. I may be right. I think it's horrendous that France did use the islands to do nuclear tests. I think that's unacceptable, 100%. But if I get carried away by my anger, my frustration, I just add the energy of anger, frustration in the air. And add the energy of anger and frustration to my own heart. So in a way, it's pollution inside and outside. So although this, I think, is very important to have the capacity to embrace these painful feelings, because I feel if you're aware of what's going on, there's pain, there's no doubt about it. Because the world is suffering, you suffer too, there's no doubt about it. Although we may not allow us to feel it, and we may cover that, you know, through consumption or being busy or whatever, or I'm just going to take care of my music, or I'm just going to take care of my job, or my girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. And I'm not going to deal with the world, but nevertheless, it's too late already, because there's an awareness. So our practice would try to be is to embrace our experience as much as we can. And as much as I can embrace my experience, I can begin to embrace the world. You know, I don't have to embrace the whole world. I can't embrace the whole world. But I can embrace this corner here. Or I can embrace that section there. Or I can embrace that section there, you know. Social, a little bit of social injustice here. Or a little bit of environmental awareness here. Or a bit of suffering here. I need to learn how to embrace that. You know, I need to know what to do with my confusion or anger or sorrow or difficult states of mind or self-criticism or loneliness. I need some tools to deal with that. And when I hear the despair of the world, I need to know how to deal with that too. So I'm not asked, and nobody's asking any of us, to fix everything. Because it's impossible. And it's not our place. I mean, you know, if you can, the great, but I don't think we can. Not even a Thich Nhat Hanh can save every or help or, you know, transform everything. But there is an empowerment in knowing that we can change something. There is an empowerment in knowing that I can deal with certain of my inner feelings and I can deal with them pretty much successfully. That in a small session of sitting meditation, I can follow my breath for a minute or two. That stays. That I can change my mood, and I'll notice I'm a bit depressed or a bit sad, and I can use the practice to elevate my spirit. That is good. There's a resonance. I'm transforming in a sense that I'm not wallowing in it. I'm not criticizing myself, because if I do, that just compacts the situation. If I add self-criticism, it just compacts and it generates a particular kind of energy. But if I notice that, and I know that what, like Thich Nhat Hanh says, you change the peg, you know, if you're feeling, if you feel, there's some feelings we can change, and if I notice that, I'm a bit, you know, I'm stuck in some kind of sense of some mental state, I can change it by being positive about it. Now I have to make an effort. But I notice my mind is a little bit wilted, I can generate some, okay, more attention, more observation of the pleasant, more positive feedback, self-positive feedback, to bring my mind a bit higher so it can be fresher. So, although it feels a little bit going uphill, energy is interesting because you generate energy, and then somehow the inner system, your inner system, feels more elevated, more present, more ready to perceive the positive or to notice. It's a little bit like when we are doing sitting meditation and we're a little bit sleepy. It's better to open the eyes for a few seconds, a few moments, just to with the light, recirculate the energy of the mind. Because if you just keep, like I've seen many people, and I do sometimes, just kind of saying, yes, we agree with something, I don't know what exactly. And I've noticed we struggle. I remember seeing one guy, he struggled the whole meditation. And it's silly, because he could have just let me get out of here. Just open my eyes. Just sit here, okay, I'm non-sleepy, okay, just let me breathe a few times, let me calm, let me stimulate my mind, and then I can continue, I can start again. I give it a second try. And then I may notice that I won't feel sleepy straight away, but I was sleepy after 5 minutes. But I lasted 5 minutes, you see, that's the interesting thing. And I feel with my states of mind and my emotional states of mind, it's the same thing. I may have a negative, quote-unquote, state of mind. I may go slowly down with it, get depressed. But if I notice that, I will try not to go there necessarily. And for some people, I mean, there is a tendency in me towards depression. And there is a value of being, if you're mindful enough, to be, if I'm mindful enough, to go with the depression, go walking with it, and notice what the depression needs to tell me. But if I'm not mindful enough, I'm just going to get depressed, and there's no way out of it. And that will bring in motion and certain other things that maybe are not very helpful. So I know that if I'm going down there, I notice, oh, my mind is not strong enough to go down there, then I need to not go there. And it's not saying it's a question about distraction. It's a question about skillful attention. Okay, I know where I'm going. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to be attentive to something else just to stimulate my good, to stimulate positively the system. And then after stimulating enough, then I can be a bit more steady, and then I can notice what brings me down. And what do I need in order to work with that? So self-maintenance is obviously one of the tasks, and it's not always an easy task. But I know that I come here Saturdays in the morning and the afternoon because I know that's my self-maintenance. And if I don't do so certain amount of self-maintenance, the way I'm going to deal with situations in my life is not going to be very helpful, because I'm just going to react. Just react, you know, anger, frustration, lack of patience, and some situations I'm just going to trigger that like so fast, you know. I got the situation with my mother, and it's been building up, and I just react, and it's just... And anger comes out, frustration, you name it, you know. The whole inner environmental destruction. So, basically self-maintenance and awareness of how our inner environment is doing, and different ways to work with that inner environment. Our relationship to the environment outside, to how the world impacts, what impact the world has inside of us, how do we respond. And actually there are people that respond very positively. And I find that that's helped me. I can't save everything. I can't save the rainforest, or I can't save people in the Syrians in the refugee camp. But if I know that, or there are people doing things like Doctors Without Frontiers or other groups, I can also nourish that awareness in my mind, and I can be nurtured by that. Sure, I can give maybe 10 or 20 pounds, that sure, I can do that, but also I can be nourished by that awareness, and by nourishing that awareness I elevate the energy. And I need to finish soon. And I remember being, I was a monk in the United States, one of the monasteries in the United States, and when 9/11 happened, you know, it was quite a huge thing. It was quite a crazy thing. And I felt a lot of despair, because I just people in the United States were just going crazy, you know, and then just the only solution was to invade Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. So there was a lot of confusion, anger, and a lot of ignorance. And I felt there was a lot of lack of calmness. And I felt that my job as a practitioner was to maintain the calmness. Instead of allowing the calmness and the good energy just to dissipate and create more confusion or reaction, my practice was to keep this calmness alive and nurture it deeper. Because I know that what the information that came to me, how I processed it, was more positive. I could say that at that time. So I didn't add to the confusion. I didn't add to the hatred or to the anger or whatever. No or yes. I had a different kind of resonance. I feel that is something we can do. So in the face of very challenging situations, if our response is more mindful, then the energy we're going to deliver to the world is a more present and mindful one, and it does affect. I know my job was just to keep coming back to my breath. I read the news, I was in touch with what's going on, but I wasn't lost in it. And my response was more of an awareness. I noticed, oh, this is connected to that, and that's connected to that. And that is an interesting thing, because you discover a lot of things. Like in suffering, you discover a lot of things. But you can only discover them by being mindful. And I have to finish now because it's 4 o'clock. So thank you for listening for this small kind of sandwich dharma talk.